Well, tonight our crowd is down a bit, and we come prepared to preach the gospel, but we probably will have a little ministry instead. Brother Brian is like he got something in mind, and I'm going to look at a few things. I want to look at, of course, the most important thing in the scriptures, and I want you to look at the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, and we're going to look at some mysteries there. In Ephesians chapter number 3, the most important person in the Bible, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all through the Bible. I believe that the God that walked in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve was the Son of God. That's called the subsistence of Christ. Christ existing before he ever became a man, existing and appearing as a man, not a real man, but he could take on the form of a man and appear. He says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And if you remember reading an excerpt in chapter 18, rather, of the book of Genesis, how three men came to Abraham in the heat of the day, and two of them went on to Sodom, and they were angels. And it says that Abraham stood yet before the Lord. The third one was the Lord. A lot of appearances of God in the Old Testament and angels, but they always appeared as men. Now they weren't real men, but they had the angels had the power to appear as a man and disappear. And that's called a theophany when it comes to God appearing in the form of a man. And then, of course, eventually he became a man. And that wasn't just an appearance. That was something he became that he never will cease to be. He's the man at God's right hand today, and he's the Son of Man that will rule and reign forever over this earth. But the person of Christ, if you look in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, in verse number 4, you're going to see the mystery of Christ there. Now, I might be borrowing this a little bit because actually the word Christ there has a definite article before it, I understand, in the Greek. It's the mystery of the Christ, and it's really the church that's in view. But I'm going to use it as it's written, as the mystery of the person of Christ. And the whole Bible and the whole doctrine that we have in the world today should be true to the person of Christ. That's the foremost thing in the Bible. If Christ is not the eternal Son of God, we do not have a Savior. If Christ was not born of a virgin, we do not have a Savior. If Christ was not sinless in his humanity, we do not have a Savior. If he did not shed his blood on the cross for our sins, then we do not have a Savior. If he did not rise the third day from the dead, we do not have a Savior. If he didn't ascend to heaven, we don't have a high priest in heaven. And if he's not coming back again, we don't have a hope. We don't have a hope. There are seven doctrines. Those are seven doctrines about the person of Christ. Where you had any one of those seven doctrines denied, you write that person off as a heretic, because they're denying the person of Christ. And there's a lot of people denying the person of Christ today. So the most important doctrine in the Bible to hold is the doctrine of the person of Christ. In the second epistle of John, you needn't look, it says, if any man come to your house and bring not the doctrine of Christ, don't bid him into your house and do not bid him Godspeed. Now that doctrine of Christ there is not the doctrines he taught, that mostly include that, but it's the doctrine of the person of Christ. And when they come and not bring that doctrine, don't listen to them. They're heretics, they're deceivers, they're false teachers. So that's the main doctrine of the Bible from end to end. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the next major doctrine and main doctrine is found in Ephesians also, and it's in chapter number 5, and it's called the mystery of the church. Actually, it's in chapter 3 where I was just reading. But in chapter 5, he's using the husband and wife relationship as a picture of the relationship of Christ to his body, his mystical body, his spiritual body called the church. And he goes on to say in verse number 31, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife." That's a quotation of the Old Testament in Genesis 2 and 24, how the two should be one flesh. That's a quotation of the marriage of a man and a woman that was instituted before the fall of man. But he says, this is a great mystery. I'm speaking about the Christ and the church. I'm not speaking about Adam and Eve, he says. I'm speaking about Christ and the church. Now, you go back in verse 31. The man that left his father was Christ. He left the heavenly father, come down to this wicked world. He had no heavenly mother. He left the heavenly father, come down to this world. And he's the man that left his mother. He had no earthly father, but he had an earthly mother, and he left his mother. What for? To be joined to a wife, the church. We are likened to the bride of Christ. So you've got the picture of the church and Christ way back there in Genesis chapter 2, even before the fall of man. God put Adam into a deep sleep, and he took from the rib, and he made a woman, and it says he brought that woman to the man, and man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh," and he instituted what we know as marriage, but here it's used of Christ and the church. So the business of the Lord, the work of the Lord today, is all revolves around building his church. He said, "I will build my church." And that's what he's been doing for 2,000 years. Look what a mess it's in. All over America, you've got 14 or 15 different 100 denominations and all sorts of cults and all sorts of systems. And it's most certainly not getting better. It's getting worse all the time. The church, the body of Christ. And to see the body of Christ, you've got to see it as a one body, Ephesians 4 and 1, of the seven ones in Ephesians 4, there's one body, one group of believers, all born-again believers is in the church, and there's no unsaved people in the true church of God. They're all saved people, they're all born again, they're all baptized into the Spirit, into the body of Christ, they're all part of the body of Christ. Now every little local church gathering should be a replica of the whole. It should consist of believers that gather around the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is the head of the body. Every member is a member of his body. Even uses in verse 30 here that we are members of his body. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. It's used in physical language to speak of a spiritual body called the body of Christ. So that's the great mystery of this day. The mystery of the church. Now, the next mystery in the book of Ephesians is in chapter 6. We'll look at that a minute. And this is the way God is building that church. It's called in verse 19, the latter part, the mystery of the gospel. The gospel. That's the next important doctrine, is the gospel. So there are three mysteries: the mystery of the person of Christ, the mystery of the body of Christ, and the mystery of the gospel, that a good measure of the so-called Christian world are totally unaware of what that's all about. There are some that, it's amazing, some of the findings of these people that take surveys, like George Barna, the Barna surveys, and what he comes up with. People who do not believe in the impeccability of Christ, believe that Christ could sin, Some even born-again Christians believe he did sin when he was on earth, and some who do not aren't sure he rose from the dead in a physical body, in a literal body of flesh, and so on. These are very important doctrines. And apostasy is moving away from the person, the doctrines of the person of Christ. And it's moving away from the doctrine of the body of Christ. That's very precious to him, just the same as our bodies are precious to us. God is going to, we live in our bodies. The Lord Jesus is living in his body, the church, because he lives in every believer by his Spirit. And God himself is going to live in that body, the bride of Christ in Revelation 21 and verse 4. God himself is going to come and tabernacle in the new Jerusalem, which is called the church, the wife of the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 21. So these are three very important things. And the gospel. The gospel is, if Paul was around today, he would write a lot more pages of the book of Galatians, I'm sure. Because, he wrote there about a perverted gospel that was being taught. This gospel that teaches that you can be saved by grace, but you gotta be kept by works, is a false gospel. It's a false gospel. The gospel of the grace of God is that God saves us by his grace alone, without our works, and it's by faith alone in Christ. So there are three very important things that we should be contending for in this evil day in which we live. Now, maybe just a little help in reading the scriptures, something comes to mind. We look back to Adam as the head of the old creation. And really he is. There's the old creation and there's the new creation. There's the first Adam and the last Adam. Christ is called the last Adam. The Lord from heaven is called the last Adam. But actually, the beginning that Adam started back there was all destroyed in the flood. And there was a new beginning started after the flood. When the flood was all over, God didn't start with one man like Adam. He started with four men, but just three men, three sons of Noah. Maybe we could look at that in the book of Genesis chapter 9. And he started with three men and their wives. They had no children at the time. And he started all over and he told them to do exactly what he told Adam, to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And God had every intention of Noah and his offsprings having dominion over the earth. Dispensationally, this is known as the form of human government. Up to this time, God is just dealing with men, but now he's dealing with the human race again, and those four men there. So in Genesis chapter 9, they had a bad start, like Adam. We read about Noah in verse 18, going forth from the ark. He had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we read in verse 21, he got drunk. He was naked in his tent, and there was some immorality there with his grandson, Canaan, and he woke up, and in his drunkardness, if I could use that word, he made a prophecy here, and it was like Balaam's prophecy. It was a good prophecy, but he was a false prophet, but he had some good things in his prophecy. And this is what he said in verse 25. He woke out of his wine in verse 24, knew when his younger son, that was Canaan, not Ham, Canaan, Ham's son, had done unto him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brother." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. They say, what does all that mean? That sets out three classes of people, three groups of people. There are three continents in the world, in the Bible. Europe, and Japheth is said to be the father of the Gentiles in the next chapter in verse 5. He was the father, he went to Europe, and he became the father, you might say, of the European people. Ham is called, Egypt is called the land of Ham, and Ham's name means black. And he went to Egypt, and that's where that group of people. Shem is the father of the Jewish people, and many of the Asian people came from Shem. But there was another very important man came from Shem. Over in chapter 12 of this same book, we got Abraham, who was an offspring of Shem. And Abraham has now become the father, Adam was the head of the first creation. Abraham is actually the beginning of the new creation. Christ is the head of it, but Abraham is the beginning of it. Because Abraham was told he was going to have three kind of seeds. And those seeds were going to be like the stars of heaven, which is a heavenly seed, like the dust of the earth, which is an earthly seed, and like the sands of the sea, and the sands of the sea always speaks of the nations. The nations. And those are the three groups that you read about in the Bible. The Jews, the earthly seed, the Gentiles, like the sands of the sea, and the stars of the sky, that's the church. Now you're going to read that. I'm going to flip over in First Corinthians chapter 11. And keeping in mind, when you read your Bibles, keep in mind that the most important things, all the Bible is important, but there's things, some things are more important than others. Keep in mind that the most important thing in the Bible is the person of Christ, the doctrine of the person of Christ, the doctrine of the church that's been unveiled in the Bible, and the doctrine of the gospel of the grace of God that was a mystery, that was unveiled, as it were, and made known. And when you read it, keep in mind those three groups of people. From Shem came the Jews. From Japheth came the church. That's where the church comes, rather the Gentiles. The majority of the people in the last 2,000 years have been the white race of people. They've been the European people. We're all Anglo-Saxon people. We come originating from Europe or England or some of those, Europe somewhere. And that's Japheth. That's the land of Japheth. God is taking out from among among the Gentiles, the people for his namesake. We were told that Japheth, that prophecy, he would dwell in the tents of Shem. Because Shem and the offsprings of the Jews rejected the Messiah, then we have come into that covenant that was made with Israel. We who were strangers and pilgrims and foreigners to the covenants of promise have now been made nigh and brought into that covenant through Christ. So there are the three groups of people. Then there's Ham. And you're going to find in the tribulation period that the mass of Gentile people that will be saved, the great multitude that no man can number, are going to come out of the dark race of the people. South America, Africa, India, and a lot of the Middle East is all dark race of people. Has God ever opened the door to the Muslim world, to the gospel? If it ever happened, and it very well could, there'd be a multitude of people saved, as we read in Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9. So in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 32, when you read your Bible, you find out whether God is speaking to the Jews or the Gentiles or the Church of God. Those are the three offsprings of the sons of Noah. The Jews came from Shem, the Gentiles from Japheth, and the Church from Japheth, and the Gentile world came from Ham. Ham. So when you read the Bible, I was writing somebody the other day, they were believed in the Sabbath day, and I said, why don't you believe in Leviticus chapter 11 that says you shouldn't eat certain meats and certain shellfish and certain things like that? Or why don't you keep the Passover? That was a Jewish feast. So the Sabbath was something that was given to Israel as a sign of their rest, not God's rest. That was what was meant to be in creation, but it was lost in the fall. Yet was their rest when they came out by the Egypt, from their slavery in Egypt. And you'll find that in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. So when you read your Bible, you ask yourself, now, who is this speaking about? The Jews? Or the unsaved Gentiles? Or the Church of God? And who is it speaking of, not only to, but who is it speaking about? For instance, the book of Romans written to the saints. But it speaks a lot about the Gentiles in chapter 11. And it speaks a lot about the Jews in chapter 10, 9, 10, and 11. It's talking about the Jews, but it was written to the saints at Rome. It wasn't written to the Jews, but it was speaking about the Jews. And also speaks about the Gentiles chapter 11 of the book of Romans. It speaks about the Gentiles there and their privileges that we now have of getting into the things of getting into the salvation of the Lord. So I'm going to leave that with you and let Brian come up and have a little work, some ministry to us.